If you listen to that, I would just say, have a nice day. It's really nice that in the words there, it kind of just makes determine, you know, if it's raining or if it's Monday, I really can't have a good day, which basically in this area is about half the year. Give me just a little tad less volume there. Thanks, Brian. And so I look at that, and you and I know how powerful music is. Music, some of you know that. Some of you are like, I have no idea who that was or anything, because, you know, you're young. But music is a powerful tool. We use it in the church. Scripture lets us know how powerful it is. Did any of you want to stand up and clap and dance? Let me show you a video clip. A little bit of a different song. A little bit of a different. It's kind of famous and it's out there today. Let's kill the lights on that. Let me give you a minute and a half of this and see how you feel after this. And back and forth right there. He was stomping his feet. He was smiling. Makes you feel totally different, doesn't it? Depending on the song, depending on the words, depending on how it's put together, that could basically lift you up. There's a website that this song plays 24/7 for people to go on at any time to make them happy. Could you, if you're new to Lifehouse, I have a set of sermon notes. Could you look right at the top of your notes right there? I have the phrase, happy doesn't just happen. Do you know that there are people who like to be miserable? And I kid you not, you think that's a joke. There are people, they like to be miserable. They, you know, misery loves company. You get around some type of people. Lots of times that's where gossip happens and begins to just fabricate and just foam and come together because people are, did you hear this? And they instead of sharing something that's edifying and lifting up, they just like to be miserable. There are people who like to have a pity party. There's just something about having a pity party that just makes you feel good about it. And you fall into these type of things, and every time you're in and around a conversation, the conversation has to revolve around you. Around you and who you are and what's going on. People like to be miserable. Not all people, but there's some people like to be miserable. You work with some of them. You know, I've been with some of them. You know, I'm not saying I work with them. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's people that are like that. And I'm aware that people go through times of sadness. We're doing a message today. Have a nice day. How to be happy, you know. I know Jim lost his brother. I know that there are difficult and tough times. So I hope you'll understand and see that there's a balance of what we want to talk about today. So I'd like to use a combination of who we are. I'd like to use a combination of our mind, practical things, of our body, how we should take care of it, and the spiritual. Can you take a look at your notes there and look at the pursuit of happiness there and write the word practical in there right off the top there? See, we live in a day and age when there is such a dependence on other people for how we will or if we will be happy. Anybody ever hear the phrase codependency? There are all kinds of people. They are never happy unless the people around them are happy. And they live to make everybody else happy. And if they don't make them happy, they're not happy themselves. I want to take a look, first of all, from a practical perspective. The Scriptures teach us, as a man thinketh, so is he. Most especially as he thinks in his heart. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down? Yeah. If you say, rainy days and Mondays always get me down, then you will always be down because of your mind. Don't you love the fact that the Bible gives you the ability to make good and right choices? I'm not talking about positive thinking. The Bible tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Therefore, you can choose with your mind to love God or not. And you can choose if you want to make Mondays and rainy days bad days. You know the most common day people call in sick from work? Mondays. 75% of all migraines, I learned just a couple days ago, women have them. And the number one day that they will call in from those would be a Monday. Aren't the weekends supposed to be recharged and refreshed? It's something's not happening. Something's not working. Something's not clicking. Most common day people call off is Monday because we put it in our mind. Many people kind of let the weather determine if they're happy or not, you know. We've had a long, cold, snowy winter. Has that affected if you're happy? I will never forget a guy, I said something or somebody else said something, and he said this, and I've never forgot it. He said, I never let the weather determine what kind of day I'm going to have. How about you? I'm never going to let the weather determine what kind of day I'm going to have because you never know if it's going to be sunny or warm. That's always really nice, but don't we also need the rain? I mean, what if I'm having a picnic and I say, Lord, please don't let it rain, and there's a farmer whose crops need rain? I mean, who here wants to live in Florida, where because there's no cold freeze like we have every year, they have termite problems, they have ant problems, they have insect problems and scorpions in their houses and stuff like that? We went to Florida one time, put something up in the cabinets. It was like mass party. It's like, hey, there's some newbies from Ohio here. Come have a party. We put something with sugar. It's just like they were everywhere. All of the weather is important. Why can we be so selfish saying that we don't like this, that, or the other? We can't be in a good mood. See, your mind controls your emotional state, so control your mind. I worked in a shop for 14 years, you know, welding technicians. Mondays were so bad for so many people, and honestly, I wasn't even a Christian at the time. I never had a bad Monday that I can ever remember. I just was like, this is a good day, and you get back to work after the weekend. So just stop and think sometimes how silly it is to let something like rainy days and Mondays get you down. What is it that's getting you down that's just about just as silly? The second thing I'd like to talk to you about after being practical is I'd like to talk to us about the physical a little bit. You know, we are definitely spiritual beings. There's no doubt about it. We'll talk about that. We're physical beings. We're mental beings. Physical. I saw something hanging the other day in Madison. It was jogging for the noggin. And at first I thought, well, that's good because, you know, the endorphin thing and everything, you know. But here what they had meant by it was a 5K that they're running for people who have brain cancer. So they were jogging to save somebody's noggin. And maybe if my parents jogged when they were young, they would save my noggin. It's lost and gone. There's no doubt about that. And so I look at this and I think that just points out what we already know. When you exercise, whether you jog, whatever it is you do, studies have shown people who exercise are so much less likely to have depression. It doesn't matter if you're overweight, if you're skinny as a rail, or if you're just average. If you're exercising, the weight thing doesn't have as much to do with it as it does something you probably know, endorphins and things like that. You know, doing a little bit of research, you probably know more about this than I do. When you exercise, your body releases chemicals called endorphins. These endorphins interact with receptors in your brain, and they reduce the perception of pain. They literally work like morphine. They literally work like morphine. I was talking to Larry Fultz. Some of you know him. He had a hip replacement. He had a hip replacement. When they went in, they were bolting the other thing in. They shattered his hip bone. I called him on the phone. I was talking to him, and he was in tremendous pain. And since he's had problem with pain meds before and addictions, they wouldn't give him anything. He was talking on the phone. I was as helpless as I could possibly be. I said, Larry, I don't know what to say. What do you do? You say, Lord. Yeah, I said, let me pray with you, my friend. And I prayed with him. I went to see him the next day. He said, Evan, literally 10 minutes after we prayed, they came in, they gave me a little bit of medication. He was a totally different person by a chemical that was put inside of him. When you exercise or when you run, there is these endorphins that are released. Runners call it the runner's exuberance or something like that. I forget what it is, but people that are here run. Nancy runs. Jen, she runs. A lot of people, they do running, and I always thought, wow, when you get running, you just really like to do it. But Nancy says, no, she has to talk herself into running every day. Yeah, Jim's a runner. It's just like, I said, really? I got it. It said it takes me 5, 10, 15 minutes to talk myself into getting up and doing that. And I think that most of the time we think, well, people that are run or do that, they just have a ball doing it. I found that wasn't true. Matter of fact, I was on Facebook. You know how with it I am on Facebook, everybody. And Brittany was on Facebook, and she put something. I said, Britt, could I share that? And she said, yeah, go ahead. So Britt was on Facebook, and she put, quote, I'll never stop being amazed by what a workout can do for a bad mood. One of her friends put down on there, and this friend is married, I guess. I was just thinking the same thing. It's even crazier when you think you absolutely don't feel like doing it, but you force yourself and end up having an amazing workout and loving it. To which Brittany responded back, I don't feel like it 95% of the time, but I'm much nicer to my mom when I do. She said I could say that, so there you go. So, and then this other responder says, ditto, but with my kids. I come home and I'm a completely different human being. So kids, you want your mom exercising. She'd be totally different, totally a different human being. This is practical side. I know lots of times we float to the spiritual side because you get the practical side all over the place, but it may be hard to get going. But physical exercise makes us happy. Find something to do that will squeeze your muscles and that will get your heart rate up and going. We use our mind. It helps us to make decisions on being happy. I understand lots of times there's some things that it's down. There's nothing your mind can do. I get it. I understand. But I'm asking you just on a practical basis. Number two, we know that there's some physical things that we can do and how we're supposed to approach it. Now, number three, you know this was coming. This is the spiritual side. Now, faith is living like God tells us to live. Faith is lessons that we learn from observing Jesus and listening to Jesus. We have a tendency to listen to him and watching what he does, we'll say, well, he went through that, so I don't have to. Wrong. If you're a follower of Jesus, you watch how he lived and what he went through and how his friends treated him. The exact same thing may very well happen to you. So here's a lesson in Jesus. He always does things so backward. He does them the hard way, I guess. Here's how he wants you to be happy. Mark the 8th chapter. I have this reference in your notes. Jesus calls the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciples. Now, that would make you happy. If you're a Christian, you want to be one of his disciples. Whoever wants to be one of my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. We all know that's the way to be happy. Deny ourselves, pick up our cross, follow Jesus. That's going to make me just want to do somersaults. But does Jesus have a little bit more wisdom than we do? Verse 35, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever wants to lose their life for me and the gospel will save it. Do you know how many people live to make themselves happy? Everything is make themselves happy, even if it's sin. Even if it's disobedience. I can tell you a story of a girl who made a decision to go out with a guy, even though, you know, he didn't really know if he liked her or not. So it made him happy to live together. So this Christian girl decided that she would live with the guy, and that didn't make him happy, so she knew she shouldn't have sex, and so she said it made him happy, so she had sex. And before you know it, it didn't really make, you know, her happy, but it made him happy, and she was wanting to make him happy, figuring it would make her happy. They married. Long after that, they had two kids, and then so they turned in the old paid-off car and bought an SUV, because that all made him happy, and she thought making him happy would make her happy until he left her, because he said he wasn't happy. You can probably have the same story in your family somewhere. People are dead set on, it's like a drug. Whatever makes me happy, I want to be happy. You can't make choices that are ungodly and unbiblical and think they're pleasing to God. They are not. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can you give? Anyone give in exchange for their soul? Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, my words. What words? You must deny yourself and pick up your cross. If you don't like that, if you don't like the way, yeah. If you're ashamed of me and my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, we're trying to get happy from this world that doesn't even know what happy is. We're trying to get some satisfaction, and as we run after it, it's adulterous things of the world. But we're sold on it. Because last night I learned that if I didn't have an ab cruncher and this thing that resets the screws into the wall, I couldn't be happy. They told it to me on TV. Couldn't be happy without it. In this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them. And when he comes with his Father in his Father's glory with his holy angels. It's really hard to have a bad day if you have decided that you will deny yourself. If you would act like Christ, knowing that in his denial of self, he bought the salvation for millions of souls who would turn to him. It's really hard to have a bad day when I deny myself, and the day doesn't have to be all about me. At work, at play, wherever it's at, I don't have to get my way, or I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. You got it at work, I got it at work, you got it in the store, whatever it might be. If it goes my way, things will be great. I can be happy. Jesus said, you know, there's something deeper than that. Imagine it didn't have to be about you. And the amazing thing is when we do that spiritually, we do it with the right attitude, it's really cool to let somebody else be first or to bless somebody else or to think about that. Because the truth is it's better to give than receive. Well, I'm not talking money. I'm talking about blessings and life and whatever it is somebody needs. It's really hard to have a bad day when the things of this world aren't what I'm counting on. That's really hard to have a bad day. When whatever the adult this world has, I don't need that. But we do. We head down that direction. It's hard to have a bad day when you can sing, "It is well with my soul." Like the creator of that song, who lost family members out on the ocean, took a boat trip, and the captain said, "Right about here is where your family went down." And he sang, "It is well with my soul." Not because he was glad they died. It was because he knew Jesus Christ. There was an eternity. Some happiness goes deeper than just what happens on this earth. And no matter what happens to us in this world, thank the Lord, Larry, your brother, somebody shared the gospel with him, and today he's with Jesus. It'd be a really sad day if that wasn't the case. There's people and families, I see it all the time, they won't deny themselves. The husbands and wives, they just, it's got to be their way. You know, the house has to be their way. How you cut the grass has to be their way. The garage has to be, it all has to be their way, instead of a husband and a wife learning to live in love, denying themselves doing what the other person wants. Those couples that I find that have learned that, they're so happy. They're happy, happy. They're happy as can be. Jesus didn't give his life for me to be happy 24/7. I don't care what's on that I'm happy video site. This Easter, we're going to be selling tickets. If you don't have the money, just get them free. Because there's some people that need to come to breakfast that you know and I know that don't know Christ. I'm going to buy tickets by faith. I'm going to buy four tickets for this couple and their family. Because I'm praying for them. I'm wanting them to come to breakfast. Folks, if you haven't been to a Jan's breakfast, oh my gosh, the food will be out of this world. There's not a restaurant around that makes food like they do. Come, bring somebody. Trick them into coming to breakfast. And then they'll come hear the story of Jesus and that he's risen from the dead. And in rising, he could forgive them of all their sins. This couple that I'm talking about, I set them up. Jesus tells us to be wise and shrewd. I did something for them, so they owe me something. You may think I'm a snake, but if they come to know Jesus Christ, they're going to feel real guilty saying no to me. Use your mind. Today, where are we going to have the ticket set up? Right there. Tickets right there. Get some tickets. If you don't have the money, just get them today anyway so we can start to plan and prepare. Buy some from somebody you're praying for and say, "Hey, I spent my last dollar getting you this ticket. Come out with us." Hey, whatever it takes. Jesus will come, lit them, set them on fire, save them, and they'll be so glad that you tricked them into coming. See, I can have a great mindset. I can be in great shape physically, but neither of those makes me right with Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that can save my soul. To know that can help me put up with a lot of injustices and a lot of things that don't seem right on this world. That's why lots of times things go bad, people turn their back on God, as if God had done something. Nobody ever told them Jesus didn't die so you could be happy. Now, I know he's got great plans for you. You know, sometimes great plans is hard work, missionary work, Project Hope work, jail ministry work. People that make a decision with their mind, this is where Christ wants me to be, boom. Jesus has great plans for your life, but you got to be careful because very slowly we venture down this dangerous territory where we believe God's ultimate plan is for us to be happy. Just do a little research on your own prayer requests. How many of your prayer requests are biblical prayer requests that God the Father wants? You know they're His will. Versus how many of your prayer requests are for happiness. We've got to check ourselves, check our hearts, because we kind of go down this line where we pursue happiness at any cost. And we have this role reversal. Instead of me being God's servant, He becomes my servant, and His purposes make me happy. Serve me. Make me happy. Paganism. Role reversal. An adulterous generation. That's how they treated God. There's a story of a young girl. She was 12 years old, and they were at this family picnic, and they had this zip line. It was a crazy zip line. It was so fast and so little bit dangerous at the end, you had to actually let go because there was no landing for the thing. So the families, they made a decision. Nobody under 14 would get on this thing. But the little 12-year-old girl named JoJo, when the parents had been there for a while and everybody had relaxed, she got somebody, lifted her up, grabbed onto it, and she went whizz. She was having the time of her life. She was joyful. She was happy. She stopped a tree with her face. Now, that's a beautiful thing to look down and see. There's my 12-year-old flopping body down on the ground, blood all over the face, needed two sets of stitches, one outside, one inside, on the chin, made a full recovery. But she was going to have happiness and joy at any cost. And you and I know the cost of sin. We know that just because we want it, could be a very, very scary place to go. Do you have any fear that the thing that you're asking, and I'm not telling you you can't ask for something personally, do you have any fear that it isn't what God wants you to have? You guys know I boated almost all my life. Right now I'm without a boat, and everybody says, you have to have a boat, Evan. You need to have a boat, this, that, the other. And I want a boat, there's no doubt about it. But I have this fear, and I've been talking to the Lord about it. I don't want it if you don't want me to have it. Maybe not now, maybe not later, maybe not ever. I don't know. But I do not want it. I'm afraid that I could be so Italian and so pushy, I could get it. How about you? You got anything? See, this whole thing about happiness, it's like a dog chasing its tail. We're going after the wrong thing. In your notes, partway down the bottom there, I have the phrase, absolutely not happy. There were times when I can tell you, I'll tell you the story about a man. He was a great grandpa. He was an awesome, before I met him, his kids told me things that they did together. He was a wonderful husband, but he was sick. He was in the hospital, and he was going to die and go into eternity without Christ. No matter all that stuff, you think Jesus and God the Father ranks you according to how you treat your kids? No. And I got a chance to talk to him. I talked to him about sin. That's always the toughest thing. And he admitted he knew he was a sinner. I talked to him about Jesus. And he knew that he needed Jesus. And he was the only one who could forgive him. We prayed together. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. And then he died. At that death and at that hospital and at that funeral, folks, we were absolutely not happy. But we had a joy that was beyond happiness. It was a blessing to be with the family and to know that he had made a decision for Jesus Christ. There are times when you're just absolutely not happy, but that doesn't mean that it's not Christian. Two words, let me give you a quick study on the word happy and the word blessed. They are very, I'd be lying to you if I told you that they weren't closely related. They are very closely related. But there's just a little bit of different idiosyncrasy. Happiness is an emotional state of well-being when I'm delighted or when I'm pleased or glad. Blessed comes with this. It comes with the sense of supremely blessed. Like a supernatural, supremely kind of blessed. It's having a great fortune or being well off. Now, what would you rather have? Everything in this life, which is short and temporary, or everything in the next life? I ask you the question, which one would be more blessed? To have something you know you're going to have in the future, or to have something now? See,
There are all kinds of people and all kinds of things that are going on in this world that have to do with making us happy. And every time you watch something, they're telling you, you can't be happy till you have our product. The asterisk in your sermon notes is the point I want to make, and then I want to read to you just several of the Beatitudes, the be happy attitudes. It is better to start your day off blessed than happy. Think about the difference. Happy is temporal. Happy is something that's done emotionally. Happy is something I may be asking for. Blessed, as you'll see in just a minute, is an accumulation of truths because you're a part of the kingdom. Part of the kingdom. In Matthew 5, 1 through 16, let me just give you a couple of them. Jesus sees this crowd. He pulls up on a mountainside. He sits down. He's teaching his disciples to them. Here's verse 3. He said, blessed or supremely blessed or fortunate or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's present tense, everybody. See, you can't have a proud and a haughty spirit and be a Christian. You have to have a humble spirit. You have to be poor in spirit. You have to say, I'm bankrupt. You have to say, I don't care if you're a preacher. Every Sunday you get up and say, I'm poor in spirit. I got some words, I got some things, but without Jesus Christ, I am nothing. And if you could say, I'm poor in spirit, I'm a sinner, I haven't walked with Christ, I want to, that's a spirit that will give you entrance into the kingdom. Now remember, the kingdom starts right here and now in your heart. The kingdom of God is set up in my heart and your heart. The physical kingdom is coming, but it's not here now. Look at the second one, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, in several different ways, I know that the things that in God's kingdom that are not happening in our world just break our heart. They frustrate us. They make us angry. They make us cry. We look around. Morality is just horrifically bad. And we just wonder ourselves, is it ever going to change? When's it ever going to? And we're looking at this world and it won't ever change here. But blessed are those who mourn, for they will be happy one day. For they will be the ones who will be comforted. And all of that mourning and all that turmoil, when you see all kinds of evil going on, you will be comforted. One more for you. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Who's the richest man you know? I was in Mexico, and supposedly the richest man in the world lives there. He put a mall in. Outside of his mall, he's got a Ferrari. For people to walk by, scratch it if they want to, rub up against it, whatever. He doesn't care. Ted Turner, Trump, whoever, any tycoon you know. They think they're going to run this. They're running the world for a little bit, they think. Jesus is going to take this world. He's going to take it from the arrogant and the rich, and he's going to let the meek take care of it. Because that's his kingdom, you and me. In the millennial reign, and then after that, the Bible says that the Christians will rule. He will give it to the meek. They won't be trying to run over anybody or trying to make an extra buck off of somebody. We live and we do what's right. We practice that here and now. We don't just wait till forever. I spoke with somebody, and you may know who it is, a while back. They had brain surgery. And before and after, and I can tell you to this day, she gave me a quote. She says, I'm always blessed, but I'm not always happy. She's always blessed because she knows everything she has in Christ. Some of the things now, the presence of God, the Word of God, Christian friends, a church that she has, all kinds of things that she's blessed with, but she ain't always happy. So be careful. Many, many great people have sung, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. The truth of the matter is, if sometimes we would just think about what He's done in the past, given us an awful lot, we should be pretty blessed people. The Maple Festival is coming up, folks. We need 50 people to help us. Because walking around the Maple Festival, there will be families there with kids who will spend eternity in hell without Jesus Christ. And all you need to do and I need to do is pop some popcorn, hand them a flyer, a brochure, be there to help in some way, shape, or form. Ryan, if you could be back by the board in the back. Folks, this is our task in life. Don't look and say, am I available that day? Shame on us. If the only time we do something that's going to reach somebody for Christ is when it's convenient for us. If you're happy and you know it, don't just clap your hands, everybody. Get mental. Go a little mental. It's okay. Get your mind right. Get your mind straight. Consider what it takes to be happy. And I'm not talking positive thing. I'm talking right thinking. Don't let the things of the world make you unhappy. If you're happy and you know it, go mental. Go physical. Find something that squeezes your muscles and pumps your muscles and gets your heart rate up. Do something. Get those endorphins out. You'll be a different person. People will start asking you to come over to their house. If you haven't anybody invite you over your house in a month, that's because you're a crab. Start exercising. Watch what happens. And then I want to say to you, soar spiritually. Soar spiritually because you and I are blessed. Recognize what you possess in the here and now and recognize what's yours in the future and on into eternity. And you just like saying, you know, I may be hungry driving home today, but I know my wife has made a great meal in an hour and a half. I'm having chicken soup or whatever it might be. And folks, you and I are promised an eternity. Everything that you have isn't yours now, but can't you just be a little bit happy that it's yours? It's secure and God knows how to make sure that He takes you there. Sometimes Christians are like a fish out of water. You guys know I like to fish. A little fish named Perchy, because I like perch, hops up out of the water onto the beach and the sand. Now his gills start going crazy because he's got no oxygen that he can only get through his gills. And he's getting sand in his gills and he's kind of spitting it up and stuff like that. So we walk up to him and we say, "You're not doing too well. I understand you're miserable. Here's $100,000. $100,000 cash, tax-free, don't worry about it. Help yourself." Did that make him happy? That didn't make him happy. Somebody walks up and gives him a Budweiser. Last service I said a Corolla instead of a Corona. So it was like a lime stuck in your Toyota. Got it. Okay. But you see the commercial. Give the guy a drink. A lot of drinks helps make a lot of people happy. So a Corolla with a lime in it is a new product that I'm putting out there, I guess. Does that make the fish happy? But, you know, Walmart has 60-inch TVs, Vizios. They're like $787, something like that. We could get him a 60-inch flat-screen TV. Perchy would really enjoy something like that. And you know how silly everything I'm telling you is. It's about as silly as me trying to think that the things of this world are going to make me happy. Well, you and I know he was created to be in the water. You and I know he was created and the things in the water and the oxygen and the way he was created, he will only function and truly be happy in that. And you and I know we were created in God's image. We're spiritual beings. And what Jesus Christ knows what makes us happy. If there's a marriage here today that is struggling today, the way it can turn around by noon, which is going to be pretty quick, is if those both, the husband and the wife, says, "I will deny myself. It doesn't have to be my way. I must start doing it your way." They never say it to each other, but just start living it. They'll think an alien's coming. They'll think something's happened here. Yeah, you've been tipping the bottle or something. You think Jesus didn't know what he was talking about? Deny yourself. Take up your cross. You want to be one of my disciples? You want to be one of who I am? So I close with this passage of Scripture. You know it. You know the passage of Scripture. The verse that ends with it is one of the most misquoted, out-of-context verses that I've ever heard. It's Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 11 and following. You might want to write it down. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 11. Was Paul living his life to be happy? He says in Philippians 4:11, "I have learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances." How would you like that? You know, Jesus is talking about that. You don't have to be number one. If it don't have to be about you, you could be happy. You could be content. He says, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty." He's been poor. He's been rich. "I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." I can do what? I can be content, whether I have a lot or I don't. You know how many times I've seen somebody take this passage of Scripture and apply this to a basketball game? Something that they were trying to do in some other way, shape, or form? When the passage of Scripture in the context says, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength, applies to being content. I can be content in whatever situation because God gives me strength. And now, how will you leave here today? I can do all things. I can be happy. I can be content no matter where I'm at, no matter what my husband's doing, my wife's doing, my job, whatever it is. I can be content through Christ who gives me strength. I will get on my knees. I will go to Jesus Christ and I will ask Him to give me strength. I say, I am not content here, but Lord, with Your help, I will be content because Paul learned it. He put it there and it's better than being happy. Because being content is knowing that you are blessed. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, as we come before You today, You have opened Your Word to us and You have challenged us greatly and deeply, Father. May Your Spirit finish the work that the Word of God today has begun. May we learn that it doesn't have to be about us. May the words, you must deny yourself and pick up your cross, ring in our hearts and our minds, not because You were trying to make us have a bad day, but You were trying to set us free from the things of this world. Set us free, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I ran a little bit long. I apologize for that. I'm going to dismiss you now. Please, there's coffee, there's donuts. Please help the visitors. Make sure Tom Parks feels welcome. Agree with him a little bit. I'm going to send you out, make you happy just a little bit more, but hopefully this isn't the only thing that makes you happy.